today will be Genesis chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 14 through 19. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. If you're able to stand, would you please stand? I'll read these verses audibly in your hearing, and then I will, on our behalf, I will ask God to help us to understand and apply what we read today. Right? Genesis 3:14. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." Verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Verse 16. "To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Verse 17. "And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow and seek you now for help. We pray that by your Spirit you would enliven and enlighten our hearts, make us teachable, that we might hear from you today. Help us to understand our own history, and help us to avoid making the same errors in our own hearts and lives. Thank you in advance for your love for us and for what you plan to do with your word in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, by review, you may remember that we've seen in in chapter 1 of Genesis that God created everything good, right? Everything was created good. And we've seen that Adam and Eve willfully disobeyed God, and then they, because of that disobedience, they then experienced the devastating consequences of sin, right? We saw that in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, last week, we likewise saw that the human response to this initial sin was, first of all, attempting to cover it up. Okay. And we saw that in Adam and Eve, then after they sinned, they went and tried to cover up their sin with these fig leaves. And then in verses 8 and 10, we see that the next response from humanity after sin is to attempt to hide from God. Okay? And we all agree together that's a futile effort, right? But we do it all the time. As if God didn't see and as if he doesn't know. And then finally we saw in verses 11 through 13 of Genesis 3 that the other human response after sin is to blame. Not take responsibility myself, but to blame. And not just blame people, but even blame God. You know, if God hadn't put me here, if God had prevented this from happening, I wouldn't have done this thing or that. That's blaming God. And so we saw that that's the human response to sin. But then we also looked at God's response, right? God's response to sin. And it's wonderful to see that God was still seeking. Even after Adam and Eve offended him. And you and I can't fathom how awful it is to... Well, yes, we can. I mean, we get some sense of it because we have it happen to us. But to give your best, to sacrificially give your best to someone, and then to have a lack of gratitude and to actually use that up and then turn to something else or to someone else. And even express gratitude to someone else when you have given your best sacrificially to them. Now, that's what we did to God. But the Bible says that He still so loved us. Right? That you see Him right here. He loved. There was no basis. Adam and Eve's action in and of itself gave no basis for God seeking them. He did it out of the goodness of His own heart. God doesn't change. He's always been full of grace and mercy. Thank God for that. He's the same, right? Yesterday, today, forever. And so there He is seeking the offenders in Genesis 3 and verse 8. And then we saw last week finally that God doesn't just seek you out when you sin to console you. God confronts you with your sin. That's a good parent, by the way. A good parent doesn't pat you on the back and say it's all right when it's not all right. A good parent recognizes if we don't get this corrected, I'm going to have problems with this child later on, right? So the Bible says that a good parent disciplines. A good parent knows that discipline is needed. So these principles we saw last week, and today, then, as we think about these are our major thoughts around these few verses. We're going to look at today, by the way, these are going to be some looking at the consequences of sin is never pleasant. That's the issue is that Satan never tells you that. What he does is he tries to make it. It wouldn't be temptation if it didn't appeal to our base nature, right? And so what he does is he tells you about that little aspect that's appealing and pleasant and leave out all of the massive consequences that come afterwards, okay? And so today that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the consequences of sin for the serpent, the consequences of sin for the woman, and the consequences of sin for the man. Now, right before we do that, let's just, if you can, let's just get a visual in our hearts and in our minds of where we are. Adam and Eve just sinned. They just willfully disobeyed God. The Bible says the eyes of their understanding was open. Now, what they realize is that we are naked. Why? Because they were clothed with God's righteousness. They were that God's righteous clothing kept them from this base lustful nature or shame that would come from being naked. But after they sin, Satan didn't tell them this. Now their eyes are open and they recognize we're naked. The righteousness they have exchanged the righteous clothing of God for some fig leaves. Right? They have exchanged the sweet fellowship with God that they had on a regular basis for guilt and shame and fear. Right? And they have exchanged this loving relationship that they had with each other for blame. And there they are, standing in this mess. Nowhere to go. They realize it. We can't hide from God, right? So keep that picture in mind as we look at now. And I'm telling you in advance, when you look at the consequences of sin, you don't expect to find things, what? Pleasant. That's the purpose of us spending this time, is hopefully to dissuade all of us from repeating the same error that we see our first parents do. Right? Okay. So let's begin by looking at the consequences of sin for the serpent. You got Genesis 3, verse 14 there. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." Now, keep this in mind. The serpent was created by God. Okay? You see that? Let's see, where is that? You see verse 19? Genesis 2:19? "Now out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them." Okay? So the serpent was created by God. All right? Now, but we also must realize that the serpent was used for evil. Okay? Created good, but now used for evil. And, don't miss this, he remains the symbol of evil throughout the Bible. The serpent does. Right? All the way to Revelation 12, I believe it is. 12:9, I think. Yeah. "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan." Okay? And so the serpent remains the symbol for evil throughout the Bible. Now, as we look at this first consequence to Satan, what we got is humiliation. Okay? Humiliation. You notice that with the serpent, there are no questions. Right? There's no opportunity to confess. Why? Because God knows him. Just as with Judah. He knows he was a what? Murderer from the beginning. There's no need to talk to him and interact with him. He's rotten to the core. Okay? So God doesn't give the serpent any opportunity to confess because he already knows who he is and what he is. Okay? You also notice that God's judgments are always justified. You see what he said here? Verse 14, "Because you have done this, cursed are you." God's judgments are always justified. Satan is the initiator of temptation, which leads to sin. Okay? That's what he does. His intent in tempting us is never to do good. It appeals to our base nature because it's something that we want. But his intent is never to do good. Amen. You need to follow me on this now. So, that's God's point. You did it. You tempted Adam and Eve. In this case, you tempted Eve because you wanted her to fall. This is your judgment, and it's just. Okay? By the way, this is a curse. God calls this, you see that in verse 14? "Because you have done this, cursed are you. This is a curse. And so this curse and this humiliation that God brings upon the serpent is to be a reminder for all who read and believe the Bible. This is a reminder that you must not defy the living God. This is not a light thing or a playful thing. Okay? You don't want to be the object of God's curse. Nobody. Okay? He said, this will be your curse. You're going to crawl and eat dust. For the rest of your existence, there'll be no relief. There's no opportunity for change. What you have done has sealed your destiny. Okay? So, that's the humiliation. And then the other thing that I noticed, I call it defeat. In verse 15. So the first consequence is humiliation. The second consequence is defeat. Now, think about this. Satan hates people. Satan hates humanity because people have been made what? In the image of God. And when Satan sees people, we remind him of who? God. All people are made in the image of God. That's the reason murder is an awful sin. You kill somebody who has been created in the image of God. There are no worthless people, not from our perspective. God is the one that makes that eternal determination, not you and I. Murder is a sin for anyone, a believer or unbeliever, okay? Because all people are what? Created in the image of God. And so Satan hates that. You see, that's the reason, you look at verse 15. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. So God is establishing right here. There will be always, for the rest of the existence of humanity, this hatred from Satan toward people, okay? But then he goes on to say, this is wonderful. I don't know how many of you all knew this, but right here in verse 13, you get the first gospel. This is the first time we see the essence of the gospel in the Bible. Look at this. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, God steps right in with the gospel. Giving hope. Now, it's not hope for the devil. It's not hope for the devil. But he gives us hope right as he's talking to the one that's going to be defeated. You got verse 15? Look at it. After he says, I'll put enmity between you, the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Then you notice he says, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Okay? Now, who is the he? This is the offspring of the woman. The offspring of the woman is going to what? I believe the old King James, I believe it used the word crush. But that's the whole idea. When you think about a serpent, and when you want to kill a serpent, what do you go after? Go after the head. The tail and all that, they may flop around for a while, but when you go after the head, you got the snake. You go after the tail, you really haven't, you've done a little damage, but you haven't killed the snake. So this is the gospel message here. He says to the serpent, you're going to bruise his heel. And that's irritating. You know how it is when you get your heel bruised. But he's going to crush your head. That's gospel. That's Jesus. Right here in Genesis 3:15, right after Adam and Eve sinned, God brings the gospel and establishes it. In other words, the victory is still won. It looks like you've won this thing with Adam and Eve. You didn't win it.
Amen.
Now I want you to get this, because I don't know how many times you talk to people about Genesis 3. We're going to talk about some rough things here in a minute. But you need the gospel to help you face these difficulties.
Amen.
Or I should call them challenges. That we're going to see. Our first parents brought these challenges on us. And you and I need to be careful thinking that your sin doesn't matter either. If they only knew the consequences of their sin. I'm not saying that would have stopped them, but the gravity of it, I'm sure they hadn't contemplated it when they did it. And you and I don't contemplate the gravity of many of the sins that we commit. So we're studying this to what? Learn.
Amen.
The Bible, Romans, indicates that the Bible is given to what? For our learning. For our learning. Okay? Everybody good so far? You follow me? So we got the gospel. And by the way, you remember what I read that he said that they're going to put enmity between the serpents, the devil's offspring, and the woman? You know where you first see that? In their first siblings. What? Cain, who was of the devil, and what? Abel. What did he do? He hated him and he what? Killed him. The first murder in the Bible was two siblings. It's not a play thing. Adam and Eve had no idea that they were going to cause one of their children to be murdered because of their sin. By their own child. I'm telling you. You can't play with sin. You don't know how it's going to work its way out. Right? Okay. So, this is the first consequence that we see for the serpent. The next thing we want to look at, and this is the order in which it's revealed, is the consequence of sin for the woman. So, let's keep reading. You're at verse 16. So, the first consequence. Now, you remember what we've seen. With the serpent, we see humiliation and defeat. Okay? Now, when it comes to the woman, one of the first consequences that we see is pain. God is going to talk here about pain as being one of the consequences. You got verse 16? To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. So one of Eve's unique and primary roles in life was motherhood, as a mother. Okay, God reserved that great privilege for the woman, but it also is a duty, because if the woman had not done it, there would be no humanity would have died. One of the great privileges of God, he created Adam, then he created Eve to be his companion, and one of the great privileges and duties out of that union was what? Procreation. Okay? And so God is about to show here for Eve and for the woman one of the great privileges that you have in life is going to also be painful. Okay? Now, notice this. This is not called a curse. This is a penalty, and it's a consequence of sin. But unlike Satan, what God did for Satan was a curse. Pain in childbirth is not a curse. It is a penalty. Okay? Now, by the way, you and I don't know. All that the Bible says is God said, I'm going to add pain. So he didn't say that there wouldn't be pain, wouldn't have been pain initially, right? Did you see how that read? He says what? I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. Okay? So pain, then, God added pain to childbirth, as a reminder, a sobering reminder of yielding to the deceptive lies of temptation. The Bible is clear. Eve was deceived. Satan came to Eve and he cleverly deceived her. And she believed him. Okay? And so God says to Eve and to the woman, this is a reminder not to yield to the temptation of deceptive lies. Regardless of how sweet they sound, how attractive they may be, it's a lie cloaked. It's poison cloaked in tasty dainties. Okay? Again, you remember what we said earlier? That's the reason you need to know the truth. You need to know what God says so that you don't yield to those clever deceptions. So, the first consequence we see is pain. The next consequence is, I use this word, reluctant submission. You keep reading in verse 16. God says, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, God takes the matter further. One of Eve's and the woman's primary role is motherhood. Another primary role for Eve was to be a wife. And God says that in both of these areas of your primary role of life, there's a consequence for sin. Don't miss this. Not a curse, but a penalty. So pregnancy isn't cursed. Marriage isn't cursed. God did not, you listen to me well now, this has got to be clear. God has not cursed pregnancy or childbirth, right? He's not cursed marriages. But the difficulty in both is a reminder of what happened in the garden. Okay? We got to get this. So he says that in this primary role for the wife, he brings a sobering reminder that there's going to be strife, right? And this strife is brought in the marriage because there's a natural desire in Eve and in the woman to control her husband. Well, where'd you get that from? Read it. I didn't say that. That's what God says. Your desire shall be for your husband. And you learn what that word desire means in the Hebrew. Would you look at verse 7? The same word. If you do well, will you not be accepted? This is when he's talking to Cain. Okay? When Cain is saddened because of this issue of his anger with his brother. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Here's our word. Its desire is for you. In other words, this word desire means that sin's desire is to what? Control you. That's what he says here, is the natural desire of the wife toward her husband. There's a desire to control your husband. But now you notice what he says is God says he has ordained the husband to be the leader in the family. You look at that last sentence, and he shall rule over you. This is God establishing how a family is going to work with this strife and this tension. There can't be two heads in anything and function well. And so God says, someone has to be designated as the leader. And then someone has to submit to that leadership. That's the way it is everywhere. On your job, in school, in whatever. In the government. In order for there to be order, there has to be someone leading and someone what? Following. That's all he says. But he says there's going to be strife because it's in your nature to want to control. Okay? That's not a curse. That's a fact. Okay? So, and then you go to the New Testament and God confirms that truth again over in 1 Corinthians 11:3, that he has established the husband as the leader. Now look, listen to me. Because I've seen how this has been abused in church. What does that mean? That means the husband needs to be the leader in humility. Right? The husband needs to be the first one to step forth and humble himself. The husband needs to be the first one to step forth in love. The first one to step forth in forgiving. The first one to step forth in sacrifice. Right? There's a whole lot of responsibility that goes with leadership. It's not this macho, you know, my way or no way, or the, what is known, my way or the highway, or, you know, that whole thing. No, this is leadership. I mean, look at it. Look at our leader. Look at Christ. He leads us by what? Example. Amen. Amen. He leads us by his humility, by his grace. And so the husband is to lead in these traits. And he says to the wife, you remember, it's the same, he says to the wife to follow, but it's the same principle as Paul lays down in the New Testament. He says, follow me what? As I follow Christ. So he's not telling the wife to follow the husband without discernment and without wisdom. He says, you submit as long as it doesn't require you to disobey God. We good? So, that's then the consequence for the woman. And then finally, we're going to look at the consequence of sin for the man. What have we seen? The consequence of sin for the woman is pain and reluctant submission. As we look at the consequence of sin for the man, the first thing we're going to see is pain. Okay? God is not biased. God is no respecter of persons. They both sinned. They both have consequences. And so let's look at the pain that then, we've seen the pain that was brought to the woman. Let's look at the pain that's brought to the man. Same pattern. One of Adam's primary roles in life was a leader and a provider. Okay? God has already established that. And he was to lead and provide for his family as a husband and a father. Now, God's judgment against Adam is for not being a leader. He should have led. The Bible says that Adam was with Eve when she went to disobey. Adam knew better because God spoke directly to Adam. The Bible does not say that God spoke directly to Eve, but he spoke directly to Adam, and Eve knew because when Satan came to Eve, she repeated what she knew was to be, what was right, okay? So, when it comes to the man, God comes to him. Now, he's talked to Eve because she was deceived. There's no, you don't get an out, what do you call it, monopoly. You don't get a pass because you were deceived. God said you still sinned. You were deceived, but you know you were doing wrong. Not the case with Adam. Adam willfully disobeyed God. He knew when Eve said, let's do this, he knew it was wrong. But he did it anyway. Under pressure. You notice what he said? You back at verse 17? And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Got it? This is a direct result of Adam listening to his wife to do wrong under pressure. This is a caution to men and women. Amen. Married together, be careful when you push each other too far. Mm-hmm. But to the one who knows better, this is a warning. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how hard the spouse pushes, you better stand when you've done all that you can. Stand for right. Amen. Amen. You gotta be willing to take the heat for God. Okay? Now I want to be clear with all this. You know that God is not saying to the husband, don't listen to your wife. We know that, don't we? Amen. The issue is that you listened to her and did what she said when you knew it was wrong. Amen. That's what this phrase means. You listened to her voice when you know what she was telling you was wrong.
Amen.
There's plenty of times that's the Bible says that the spouse, the wife is given for a helper. And men that listen to their wives know the wife helps. He's not talking about not listening in a communication perspective. He's saying don't listen to do when it's wrong. Got it? Okay. So you notice then that keep reading there. The pain comes then in the very area that Adam is called to do primarily. You get it? You look at verse 17 again. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. Now you notice what he's saying here. The pain and difficulty for Adam is going to be in working to provide for the family's needs. This is what you're called to do, Adam, but it's going to be difficult now. I want you to be reminded every day when you get up to go to work, I shouldn't have done that. I knew it was wrong. And here's the thing. It's passed down generation to generation to you and me. See, it didn't stop with Adam. That's what I'm wanting us to see about sin. But he says to you and to men likewise, the difficulty, the reason it's called work is because it's hard. And it's hard by design as a reminder from God that Adam disobeyed me. And what you have to look forward to is the day when it's going to be, when the what? Curse will be lifted. But for right now, stop looking for a job that doesn't involve work. I mean, that's what people do. Gotta find me something easy to do, Mom. I want to get me a big paycheck. I don't want to work hard, but that's unbiblical, right? If a man won't what work, then your belly is supposed to motivate you. That's God. That's God's design. People sit around scratching their head. I don't know how to get this old lazy. Let him eat. Don't stop feeding them. They'll get the message. That's what God says.
Right? If you don't work, then you don't eat. So this principle then is designed to be a reminder to men of the awful consequence of yielding to temptation when you're under pressure. Don't do it, regardless of how unpopular it makes you. See, Adam, what are you calling it? Adam could have, it would have been better for Adam to be in the doghouse for a few days and do right rather than yield and curse and bring this great devastation on all of humanity. Okay? You good? Mad? Well, don't get mad at the messenger. So this is one of the consequences for the man. The second consequence, look at this, is death. This is serious. So you see, the pain. Now look at how God words this. The pain and difficulty in working is intended to be lifelong. You see how verse 19 says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." What does that mean? The Bible never intended for there to be this unproductive retirement that America portrays. The American dream is not biblical. You do know that the Bible wasn't written for America, right? That's the reason they call it the American dream. God knows that people need purpose, regardless of your age. You need to know that your life is productive. You've got a reason for getting up in the morning. You see, that doesn't mean that He intends for all of us to have the same level of intensity, but you should not be storing up for this great day when you're going to lay back and do nothing. That's not biblical. Okay. So he says to the man that this work ethic needs to be in your heart for the rest of your life. Okay? It's in you. That's what keeps you fulfilled. Okay? Physical death, however, is the direct result of Adam's blatant disobedience. You see how God says it? By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Physical death is a direct result of Adam's blatant disobedience. And you know, Romans 5 says it, by one man, but sin entered into the world, and what? Death. And then he goes on to say, and death has spread to all men. By what? It didn't say by Adam and Eve. By what? One man. Death is attributed to Adam. By one man brought death, and one man brought what?
Life.
But I don't want to get away from the graveness of the situation. Right? The consequences, pain, and death. You see that word return there? Return to the ground? Think of this. That means that sin brought a reversal. God made Adam from the dirt of the ground, right? Formed it to a man. And if but because he disobeyed God, God said, I brought you out of the ground, and now I'm going to reverse the process. From the day you're born, you're headed back where? To the ground. This is a serious matter.
Amen.
Regardless of how much neutralizing stuff you put on your skin and nutrition you put in your body, which we should do. Uh-huh. We should do. We should live as healthy as possible. But even the healthiest among us has got to go this way. Back where? To the ground. All because Adam sinned. What God shows here is there's been a reversal in your biological system. It's now deteriorating. The longer you live, the more deterioration comes about. And for all of us, this is a painful reminder of what took place in the garden. And it reminds us, this is why we can't live here. This is why this can't be home. These bodies were not intended to live forever. That's the reason we need new ones, right? That Brother Lama says, the new ones that don't even need a half hour sleep. Think of that. All of these things are just reminders to us. Whenever you're faced with that decision to sin or not, don't do it. The consequences are way too grave. All right, well, you've been very patient. And so, you know, I just say to you that sometimes people can correct their mistakes and their errors. But this is a situation that cannot be corrected or reversed. What we just looked at this morning can't be turned around by wishing that it hadn't happened. Amen. It did. And it happened long ago. And we are suffering the consequences of it now. The damage in disobeying God has been done. The consequences are severe. And the consequences are long-lasting. Every person born into this life after Adam and Eve has been affected and infected by sin. Sin affects us externally, and sin affects us internally. It's in us, right? We are born sinners. And it's direct result of this one act of disobedience. Even though we must live with the damaging effect of sin in our lives, thank God there is relief. Thank God there is peace available. Thank God there is joy even with these consequences. We couldn't endure if there wasn't, right? But that can only be found in Christ. Can't do it on your own. That's what Adam and Eve had to learn. Trust God even when something sounds better than what God says. Trust Him anyway. That's the reason the proverb writer says, trust in Him. Trust the Lord with what? All your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. So there's relief to be found in Christ. There's relief from the struggle for the woman or the man. There's relief from the struggle for the married person or the single person. There's relief from the struggle for the young person or the old. Christ will give you the desire and the power to live a holy life acceptable to God. in the fullness of victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can, with certainty, love life and have good days. You can do it, my brother, my sister. If you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. We've looked at a grave, grave situation today. But you know the story doesn't end there. I've just got to end there today. Thank God the story doesn't end there. But that's where we leave it today. You can have certainty as you love life and have good days in Christ. You can have it through Christ. You can have it with Christ. Jesus will comfort you in your pain. Yes, he will. There are times when he doesn't take your pain away. He just meets you in your pain. Amen. And gives you the strength to bear it. Amen. Right? Amen. He doesn't take you out of the valley. David says he walks what? With me through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the reason I don't fear evil. What? He is with me. He's with me on the mountain. But he's also with me where? In the valley. He's with me. He says, I will be with you when you're popular. I'll be with you when you're unpopular. I'll be with you when you got plenty of money. I'll be with you when you got very little. I'll be with you when you're healthy. I'll be with you when you're sick. There is peace and relief in Christ. Even though we must endure the consequences. Not only of Adam and Eve's sin, of our own. See, we can't keep, we don't want to start doing like Adam and Eve did. We're looking at their situation, but we can't blame Adam and Eve for all our problems. Right? I got to own my own sin and the consequences of my own sin too. Jesus will comfort you in your pain. He'll give you strength in your weakness and give you hope in times of trouble. But you got to trust him. And if you're not a Christian, I'll tell you, Christ is makes himself available to you too, right? He'll give you peace and joy too if you're not a Christian. No, I don't mean if you may call yourself a Christian. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if you're not joined to Jesus, right? If you're not in him with full security, he'll save you today. This peace and joy is offered to you, but you have to come to him. He's done everything to prove to you that he loves you, my friend. You got to come to him. God went seeking after Adam and Eve. Jesus is seeking you. But you got to believe in him. You got to trust him. You got to come to meet him. He's here right now. Amen. Don't try to hide from him. He knows everything. Right? Don't try to cover it up. He knows everything. Just step forward. How's the songwriter said? Just as I am. Just come as you are. Don't try to clean up anything. Amen. God will save you just as you are.
Our Father, we thank you that we have this great gospel hope. And that in Christ there is true relief and peace and joy and encouragement and comfort and hope, life and love and liberty. In Christ there is a deliverance. In Christ our souls are fed and full. Our cup runs over. We thank you, Lord, that we have come and are still learning to trust in you with all our hearts and not lean to our understanding. Help us to learn from this lesson from our first parents to resist the temptation to sin with everything that's in us. Well, now would you meet us as we contemplate these truths and apply them in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's bow together for a few.